Also, those of you who'd like to make a contribution that are listening over the television, we ask you to make those contributions to Wimber Assembly of God, or Wimber Assembly, and Box 361, Wimber, PA 15963. Right? Yes, 63. Yeah. I always get, you know, with moving to Davidsville, it's a different zip code, and so you just got to switch the numbers, and which one is it this week, you know? So anyhow, make those contributions to Wimber Assembly. So today we didn't get to finish last week's sermon on abiding with me, Christ and the vine, and I thought we would kind of pull that together and hopefully be able to put it together in a way that will make a difference for us today. So this is the series in which Jesus told his disciples to come away with me, meaning that they had just sent them out two by two, and they came back, and they were all excited about what had happened, what had done, what the preaching and teaching they had done, and there's a big crowd following them, and Jesus wants to just be alone with the disciples, so he says, come away with me, and so we can go spend some time together. And that's the important part of all of this, is that we spend time with God, that we have to spend time in prayer and Bible reading and our you know, devotion, just stopping and focusing on God and allowing God to speak to us. Now, the scripture is in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I'll read part of them because I want to save some more time. But I am the true vine, Jesus says. My Father is the one who cares for the vine. He takes away any branch in me that does not give fruit. Any branch that gives fruit, he cuts it back so it will give more fruit. You are made clean by the words I have spoken to you. Get your life from me, and I will live in you. No branch can bear fruit of itself. So the theme that we've been looking at in this section is the vine and the branches. Christ is the vine, we're the branch. Okay, we are grafted in, we are put in the vine, Christ is the main vine, and we're attached to him. So many people think that Christian life is measured by activity, and that we've got to do this, we've got to do that. It, you know, the legalism of it, that's what keeps us attached to Christ. Well, it isn't. He called them to remain in him. Stay connected with Christ. The fruit is never the goal. You know, think of it, the fruit of the vine of the tree is not the goal. The fruit is the result of the branch being attached to the vine. So, you know, it's not, we got to do this, we got to produce this fruit. No, it's the natural event of the branch and the vine connected. It's a natural thing to produce fruit. So abiding in Christ is the natural outcome. Abiding with Christ. Just taking time to pause, to read a devotional, pray, spend some time with God, renew what is in your heart and mind, renew it with according to the scriptures. And we abide in Christ, and the natural outcome of that abiding is fruit of the Spirit. Now, we did this in Sunday school this morning when Paul was talking to the Galatians, and the people, the Judaizers, were trying to get the Galatians to go back to the law of Moses and the Ten Commandments and the sacrificial system in the temple and circumcision, all that. The Judaizers are saying, in order to be a believer in Christ, you have to do all these first. And Paul is saying no. And he talks about the fruit of the Spirit and how that the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience. So these are things that come from the vine that go into the branch. Christ is love. He is peace. He is the Prince of Peace. So when we start looking at the fruit, we look at Christ and we look at what the scripture says about that, and that's what we're producing in our life. So the life in the branch comes from the vine, and Christ is the vine. So in John 15, 1, he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Throughout Scripture, Israel was described as the branch. While they just never quite, well, you got to understand that there was this falling away. They were 400 years. We've been a nation for 250. So we've got a long way to go. And so they were on and off in their relationships, and they had the judges that came in and brought them back to a right relationship. But the judges were, I think, 350 years. So they were. There was many generations. So what about the generations from us, our children, our grandchildren? So we look at this and how that we are in our relationship with God, and that we need to keep that relationship going. Now Jesus declares that he is the true vine. That everything needed for life flows from him. Everything needed for life flows from him. We've got to ask Christ for the love and the peace and the forgiveness and the joy. You see, this isn't something we produce on our own. You know, this isn't something we can force ourselves into. And if we try to do that, we're missing the point. You know, the Christ is the one who saves us, forgives us, and lives within our heart. And the fruit of the Spirit is the spiritual things that come to us through Christ. So, the next one is the Father is the gardener, and I think this is where we left off last week. John 15, 1, the second part is, my Father is the one who cares for the vine. So when we think about this, God the Father, and of course the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but we're looking at God, Jesus is saying God the Father is the one who is the husbandman. He is the one who is caring for the vine. Think about this. God the Father is caring for you. He is taking care of you. Now, you say, hey, you're not doing a good job. No, he's not doing that. God is caring for us. It's just that sometimes we get distracted, and we're thinking one thing, and God is saying, no, this is the path you're to be on. And so God is the one who is working through the events and working through the seemingly the obstacles or the difficulties or the people that cross our path. God is at work, and that all these things are working and taking us in a particular direction. So God is... that God is at work in our life, and we are to think how he has plans for us and a purpose for us. So we are pruning away. God is pruning away at our life, and he removes pride, arrogance, self-reliance or self-sufficiency, don't need anyone else, distractions, diversions, trying to do too many things or not enough, unhealthy relationships, hidden sins. These are the things that God the Father is saying, you know, hey, you need rid of these. You need to cut these off. So every cut is made, everything is pruned with the future in mind. See, God knows where he's taking us. And the future is before us, and God has prepared a place for us in heaven. So he is pruning us so that we have a place in the future. We'll do it here.
We did a thing on the 10 virgins, the 10 bridesmaids, and five were ready and five were not. That the five who were not ready, they fell asleep, same way with the other five. They brought their lamps, and they didn't bring any oil. And the other five brought their lamps and their oil. And they all 10 fell asleep. And then when the bridegroom came at midnight, the five who had the oil stood up and lit their lamps, and the five who did not have oil, they said, give me some of your oil. Okay? Now, I've always wondered, why didn't they share what they had? Well, most of the time we think of, okay, you got a 5-gallon bucket of oil here, I got enough for me, and I got enough for you. No. The oil that was in the lamp was the relationship that they had with Christ, the bride, the groom. And the relationship that they had with the groom is where the oil came from in the lamp. So the relationship that we have with Christ is the oil, so to speak, in the lamp of our life that will take care of us in the dark places. So when we're seeing ourselves and confronted with the difficulties, that the oil in the lamp is what we have put there in our relationship with Christ. Christ is put there with our relationship with Him. The five who didn't have oil didn't have much of a relationship because they brought their lamp, but they didn't bring any oil. And so you can look at people who go to church and don't have a relationship with God or whatever. There's many analogies there. But we see that in here whenever he's talking about pruning and he's cutting back. And so so that anything that would get in the way of the relationship with Christ, that he wants to remove it. He wants to prune it from our life because the relationship with Christ is so that we are connected to him. He is the vine, we are the branches, and our life produces fruit. And the fruit that we have is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit that we have is walking in the Spirit, that we are walking with God in our everyday life, which is making oil for our lamp, so that people in dark places, in dark times that are Christians, their lamp is still burning, that God is with them. So when we hear about Christ and we hear about his return, that Jesus is coming back, you know, whether we believe it or not, and we are in the end times, we are in the last days, but it's funny, not funny, we, also looking at this, that we look at life and we measure it by seconds, minutes, hours, you know, weeks, day, you know, days, weeks, years. We measure things that way. But in the scriptures, when it talks about Christ returning, it's about the seasons. There's the season. And there's a season of discord. There's a season where warring and against nature, you know, nation against nation, and conflict where you can't tell what is right or what is wrong. It's always, if you have an opinion, that's how it should be. And so there's no right or wrong sense in our society. And so in the end time, in the end season, we have those things going on in our society. And so we find that your life that we have in Christ is not in fear of what is happening in our world. Because no matter what happens in the darkness, the boldness of darkness, the light of Christ is always with us. And the light of Christ, you know, one of the interesting things about the children of Israel in Egypt and one of the plagues was darkness, okay? And, you know, everything went dark for 3 days. Well, there was a division there, that the people, the Hebrews, the Jewish individuals, they had light on their side, and on the Egyptian side, they had total darkness. So there was like a veil that was, you know, that separated them. And I don't know why the Egyptians didn't walk through the darkness, but they probably couldn't see to get there. So, and the light didn't penetrate their darkness. So in our life, that we have this walking in the Spirit, which is allowing the Holy Spirit to walk with us and help us in our difficulties and be that light to us, and we are asking for him, his help. So Jesus has promised that he's going to come back. He said so in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. which is, ye men of Galilee, these are the angels that were speaking as the people were watching him ascend into heaven. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So Christ is going to return, and you know, and the idea is, are we foolish or wise? Are we like the five foolish bridesmaids? They didn't really have a relationship, but they showed up with their lamp, but no oil. There was no relationship in there. They just wanted to, they were duplicating the ones who had the oil and the lamp. They were trying to look like them, but they weren't them because there was no oil in the lamp. So there's a time when our spirit feels pulled. Our spirit feels pulled between two worlds, the temporal world that we live in and the eternal world we are going to, because we are part of both. Our name is written in God's book of life. Heaven is our home, and we are here for a while. And in this a while, Christ is going to come back sometime in the future. If he doesn't come back, we pass away, we go to heaven. That's just the way it is. So we go to heaven. So our life is wrapped up in two understandings. We understand that in this life, God expects us to depend upon him. He expects us to believe, to ask. You know, sometimes the scripture that comes to mind is when the scripture says, you have not because you ask not. You didn't ask. Well, you knew I wanted it. You didn't ask. And so being able to face the relationship that we have with Christ, face the relationship that we have with Christ, and know that what we are asking for is part of what God will bless us with to build his kingdom here, to fill our lamp with oil. Because when we're asking for God to bless, to heal, to restore, to give us wisdom and understanding, to direct us in our life, that we walk with him and he with us, you know, in the cool of the day, as he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. God wants to walk with us, and all that walking with us puts oil in our lamp. And so what we pray for will be the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to put oil in our lamp. And so when the dark times come, we have light. So when I'm holding that up, that's a lamp. Okay? You know, you knew that, right? Sorry. I wanted you to know that that's a lamp. I'm just not stuck with my arm in the air, you know. That's a visual. You have to imagine a lamp, okay? All right. So, abiding is a daily dependence. So we are to abide in Christ. Abiding is daily. You know, it isn't just on Sunday. It isn't just in a crisis. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, the focus for this message is abiding. But one of the things you can't forget is you shall ask and you will receive. It shall be done. So whenever we're looking at this, abiding in Christ is this relational experience that we have with Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. That the purpose of God is that he is with us and we are with him. He created you for this moment in time. He created you for this life that you are living, and you are the only person who can live your life. And you are the only person who can reach the people in your life. And so Christ has given us that strength, that ability, that closeness, that we can allow the Spirit to abide in us. Galatians 5:13, live your whole life in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the desires of the lower nature, the flesh. So we are looking at what God wants us to become. In the Sunday school lesson in Galatians, read that one, where Paul, Galatians 5, I believe, that talks about, the things of the flesh are the things of debauchery and sin and all this other stuff. And he lists them for us to let us know that we're off the road. These are things that are off the road. And then these are the things that are on the road. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness. These are the things of the Spirit. And these are the things leading us on the road of life. And they're leading us to where? To heaven. Heaven here on earth. Part of me, I'm not all here. Yes, thank you. You got to pay attention. These little slams that I give. Living continually in the fellowship of Christ. We abide with him through prayer. Prayer isn't that complicated. Prayer is talking to God, sharing our thoughts and sharing our feelings. We abide in Christ through the Scriptures. Read a verse, read a chapter. Think about it. Spend time with God. Just thinking about the Word. And, I don't know what it means. Well, just think about it. See what your spirit, how that spirit puts it together. Worship. We stop and focus on God with gratitude. We thank God for his goodness. Obedience. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Quiet listening, reading text and listening, paying attention. So, as Jesus requested of the disciples, he requests of us, come away with me. put your phone down. Put your phone down, but somebody may call me. I may get a text. I always like the one where two people are texting each other and they're right beside each other. Rather than talking, they're texting, I won't go there. So what are we doing? We are preparing and we are filling our lamp with oil. We are filling our lamp with oil so that in the dark times we have light. And when we think about the end times, the Antichrist is not going to come when everything's peaceful. The world is going to be in chaos, and he's going to come as a world leader to make everything good, to straighten out all the problems, and everybody's going to listen to him. So it's going to be a time of chaos, and then he's going to be the false Messiah that makes things right. Well, if you look at our society and, what is right and what is wrong, it's all a matter of opinion. The Bible says in the end times, that which is right will be considered wrong and what is wrong will be considered right. And so there's a flipping of our society, a flipping of the guidelines for our life, the rules of our life. So the things that Christ gives to us is not to withhold. What Christ gives to us in the Scriptures is to bless us. That we have this, we're walking with God on the road of life, and God, his goal is not to, push us off the edge. His goal is to lead us into the kingdom of heaven. And that our life would be filled with the Spirit, his Spirit, to do the right things for the right reasons. So, abiding in Christ is not by time and hours. Abiding is not, how many hours a day do we spend, but it is our routine in which is not defined by time, but it's defined by presence. It's defined by seasons. It's an atmosphere that we live in. So it's, I spent 10 minutes praying. I spent 3 hours praying. No, it isn't that type of keeping score, keeping record. It's a matter of the atmosphere that we live in. There was a book years ago talked about, there was a monk. he wrote and brought the book Practicing the Presence of God. And he was the guy who washed the dishes in the monastery. And he said that while he was doing the dishes and the pots and pans and all that, that was his time to practice the presence of God. Meaning that it was in that time that he felt close to God, he prayed, and he did the things that was part of his relationship with God. So it isn't that we can just abandon and go someplace. It's that we can recognize that Christ is with us always, every moment of every day. So there is a longing. There is a longing in our heart, in our spirit, for a closeness to God. You know, sometimes we're uneasy with life. I don't know if that's you or me. It's me. Uneasiness with life. And it's like, well, you see, there's more to it. There's more to it than what we're doing. And it's not about what we're doing. It's about who we're with. And that we are with Christ. And he has made us, created us, for such a time as this. So the countdown, it's not necessarily a clock, but it's when prophecy aligns with current events. When the things that were told by prophets in the Old Testament come to fruition in now, the things that Jesus said to be aware of, and they are happening now, we are beginning to see that there's a division of the spiritual and the spiritual in the sense of being with Christ, the five virgins who had the oil in their lamp, and the five who don't, the five who are off, you know, wanting the oil, but it's not there. So morality is flipped, truth is treated as an opinion, and there is a spiritual pain and a spiritual awareness that life is coming to a point in which we are going to go home to heaven when the trump of God shall sound. But you see, we can do nothing without him. Without me, verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Jesus is not saying that we cannot accomplish a task. He's not saying that we can't do things, but things of eternal value are accomplished through our relationship with Christ. Abiding in Christ, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And we talked about that. And it shall be done. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Abiding in Christ produces fruit. It doesn't necessarily say you're going to get everything you pray for, but that the abiding in Christ knows what we should ask for. You know, that this closeness to God, what is it that God wants to bring about in your life? Peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the things that of the Spirit that are part of the path that we are walking. The branch doesn't have to strain to produce fruit. It's just part of the natural process. And John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you. My joy. Doesn't say happiness. It says joy. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy is that which resides in the heart, in the spiritual realm, where God is our joy. Christ is our joy. And that, you know, that he is, that we're safe in the hands of our Father. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That in the darkest place of life, I've got the light. I've got the light with me because I've got a relationship with Jesus. And he is the light of the world. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. So all these things are coming together that his joy, Jesus said, that my joy might be in you. So the joy that Jesus had didn't keep him from the cross. It led him there. So, what challenges for ourselves? What challenges the joy in our life? Things, people, circumstances? The Word gives to us an eternal perspective. The Word of God, the Scriptures, give to us an eternal perspective. The newspaper tells us what happened yesterday. Sometimes the news tries to forecast what's coming tomorrow. But the Bible is what puts it all together and what Christ is doing in our life now. And the Word gives to us an eternal perspective. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word in you will never pass away, will never die. So, are we abiding in Christ? Are we taking the time to recognize that Christ is our not only our Savior, He is our friend. He's the one who opens doors, closes doors. He's the one who puts life before us and gives us the power and the strength to choose. Abide in me and I in you. So that's the challenge. What did this message for our come away with me, abide in me, so what does that say to us about Christ? What does that say about our relationship? So how does this fit into who we are as a servant of Christ? So let's take a few seconds, 30 seconds, and just think about that and what we've said and how that it fits into our life. The word Jesus gives to us is abide in me and I in you. It's an invitation. It's an invitation to have Christ living in our life. And we want to come to grips with that invitation because that invitation is the forgiveness of sin. That invitation is a new life born of God, that heaven is now our home. And we are still here. We're still here living our life, but we have two worlds in us. One is the eternal world, and we have the lamp that is lit. And the darkness, you know, doesn't work anymore because the light of Christ is there with our lamp. Shall we stand? So, Lord, we thank you again for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, that the light of God, the lamp of the Spirit, is lit in our hearts. And God, the light that shines upon our path is illuminating our next step. And we know, Lord, that maybe we can't see that far into the future, but Lord, you give to us our next step. And we trust you with our life. We trust you with our future. We trust you, Lord, to watch over and guide us for every step of every situation. That, Lord, you are leading us in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Thank you for this knowledge and this peace and this light. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Fill up your lamp with oil.